Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Zach Jenkins, Dunstan Thorne, David Simmons, Kayla B, Roman Sevchenko, Meche Moria, Andrew Wadsworth, E. Yalenak, Bree Hutchian, Sarah Homan. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards. And welcome to episode 118 of the Rustyquill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
Tis me, Ben, on 100 twice 9.
Lydia Nicholas for who knows how long.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Grizzoptric Agamsazam.
Hamitullah Ural-Tahan.
Sasha. Like, what would her epitaph be?
And is it worth introducing your whole character at this point?
Yeah. We hardly knew ye. She preferred it that way.
Yeah. Yes. Gone.
Oh, no, here's your epitaph.
Never there.
No, your epitaph is just the question mark after your name, so it'd be Sasha. And
Azu.
So things are going really well. You know, there was a brief period where I thought the natural one might ruin the encounter. Mm-hmm. It didn't. It's okay, guys. I rolled really high on damage. So
I'm talking to sexy buff orcs.
Yes, you are. So
I want to know their likes and dislikes.
Let's start with Grizzop first.
Yeah, of course you were going to do that. I shouldn't be surprised.
So, Grizzop,
so do you come here often?
So Grizzop is hiking down towards Damascus, surrounded by big burly orcs in the morning, because you camped out and you've been doing... No, you know what? It'd be mid-afternoon, so it'll be quite hot, I suppose. Quite sweaty.
I mean, yeah, we know they're quite hot, Alex. You've given us those details.
Oh, right, yeah.
And now we're getting sweaty.
Oh, good to know. That sounds like a human response. So you're all heading down the mountainside, and meanwhile, in Rome, we have the party kind of stunned.
We're doing
under
as the
attack.
Romans do. and dying.
To unseen forces more potent and terrible than you can imagine.
Four episodes to make a doing as the Romans do, guys.
As it stands, Sasha's in a bad way on a rooftop from a single, well, no, two hits, I suppose.
Oh, but she was already down to 30.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, everyone else is doing their darndest to put Azu's clothes on for her. That's an accurate description of events,
right? If you could hurry it up, she shouts. I'm trying as hard as I can. There's just too many straps.
So,
just literally, Sasha's going to die to a wardrobe malfunction.
So I'm gonna start with Grizzop.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Ben's face. So you're heading down the.
I don't know if I respect your craft anymore.
It's horrific. So heading down the mountainside, they're all quite chatty. I'm not going to RP the like 4 hours of hiking it'll take to get to the bottom.
Yeah, after the initial enthusiasm, Grizzle becomes progressively less chatty as, you know, the general situation now that he's solved the immediate problem starts to weigh on him again.
Yeah, just think, someone might be dying and you're not there to help.
Yeah, Grizzop.
Well, they shouldn't have gone in the first place because that's precisely what the villain wanted them to do.
So, the day wears on. There's a brief period where, to pass the time, there was some orcish, like, marching songs and stuff like that. But the leader, Bronk, is pretty clear about, let's not enter Damascus singing a marching song. That would be a bad call. Let's not do that thing. Heading into Damascus, they are still picking up the pieces from the dance-off. However, that's all quite tempered by the fact that everyone's talking about how a meritocrat came and blew up the city. It wasn't the city, though, was it? It was the mountain. Well, no, but I heard that the river started. No, the river hasn't started, it was a meritocrat. No, but there was the landslide. Yeah, that was the meritocrat. What, in the city? No one has any idea what's going on. Mostly people are just kind of trying to clean up whilst looking kind of worriedly up at the sky a lot. So the orcs are able to sort of head through and no one seems to stop them. There's a lot of like people immediately closing shutters ready for another dance off, God forbid. But for the most part, it's okay. Are you stopping in at the Artemis Temple at all, or are you just heading straight to the Meritocrats?
Not at the moment.
That's fine. Heading straight on towards the Meritocrats. Yeah, no interference or anything like that. Bronk turns to the rest of them and
huddle!
Kind of gestures for you and rather forcefully gestures for you to enter the huddle as well. Right, so I'm going to be going in and everyone else just look nonchalant. Right?
We all pose.
Yes!
I will also be going in.
Yeah, all right. Turns around and starts heading towards. The orcs kind of space themselves out so that they don't look like there's loads of orcs gathered outside the like
meritocrat offices. Of experience of prejudice.
It's almost like and yeah, so some of them set up like reading books and stuff like that, like anything they can.
So just non-threatening.
Posed. Yeah.
But they are spreading themselves
swimwear
out and
magazine
and making it clear that there is not a
snogging under a tree.
Six of them do that. It's a very complicated snog. Oof.
Rustic will after dark.
Bronk goes up to the front doors, moves to knock, and then just goes, opens it and walks in. It's full of activity, unlike when Hamid and Azu were there. You know, offices are full, lots of people walking around. Occasionally someone just goes, oi, move, and kind of pushes past. No one is paying attention to the fact that you two have walked in.
Hey, you! Where's Wild's office?
One sec. Derry! Heads off. Comes back. Yeah, all right, it's over there. 47B, have fun.
Thanks, come on.
Bronk's looking a little bit out of sorts. There's a lot of paper here, and there's lots of people who seem to be doing things, but no one really seems to be doing anything.
No one's
and
hammering anything.
It's very, very clear that he doesn't like this. He's just kind of like, ugh. He's not scared. It's a little bit gross. That's a lot of people being busy for things that don't matter.
I know, right? Admins. Terrible.
he starts to speak and just like, ugh. Head 47B.
Open the door, yep.
Wild, you in here?
Yes, he is. Face down, covered in papers, with a small amount of blood around his head. I'm going to jump to the party in Rome.
Dun, dun, dun!
Oh, my God!
Everything's going so well.
No!
It's all so good. Everything's going so well.
I can't go down.
It's fine. I'm going to murder Alex.
Not if I murder you first. Okay. Okay, so in Rome. Not going great. Hamid, you are up.
I scramble out of the exit of the cellar and look up.
I'm going to take a... Give me a perception check. Well, I'm not counting this as active perception.
30.
So. 30. Sasha is not visible. You can see what appears to be maybe the remnants of an explosion on the edge of the building.
I will move in that direction and just have...
Sasha, where are you?
I'll allow you your response, but it has to be short because you've already given a yell in your turn.
He's invisible!
Stop. Okay.
Oh. Is it the Baden's turn?
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, no.
Question. Do I go for hard, brutal fatality or dramatic and run the risk of not killing Sasha?
What do you think?
I'm going to step out.
I'm going to go for hard, brutal fatality.
Oh!
I love that.
I hate this.
What's your AC?
20. Just the fact that she'd die with no one seeing it feels sort of real.
So,
yeah, just gone.
Yeah. Particularly if you never find the body.
The last thing that Sasha feels is agonising pain in the back of her head.
Oh, sh**.
As you...
I ain't even...
As you take 11 damage.
Okay.
Not dead.
She's on -7.
Not
so, thinking about how this roof is shaped, would she immediately then tumble off?
It's you fall, better if you do.
You fall down into the alley. Because of the nature of the ruins and so on, you aren't taking fall damage for that either, because it's kind of more of a scrambly slope. Like, I did establish it was ruinous.
Yep.
So the thing continues its turn.
Oh, right. Oh, mate.
Oh, no, Hamid.
Oh, mate! I'm not
Hamid, give
about
me a perception
Hamid.
Check.
Soon it will be just Ben.
16.
Or worse, just Grizzop in Damascus and just Azu in Rome.
That's true.
Einstein continues helping Azu with Azu's armour and starts saying, Oh no. Azu, you're up.
How much of my armour do I have on? Is it like an on-off thing or is it something that happens in increments? Bleeding out here, bleeding.
You have your greaves and you have your gauntlets.
Van braces.
You will count as unarmoured, but
I'm gonna go.
Okay.
Yeah. Because now you're outside.
Yep.
And I've heard.
And the crumpled body of Sasha is lying.
You knocked over the
Azu,
little model.
Azu may not be able to see that. So, Azu, where are you running to?
I'm running to join Hamid.
Okay.
I will point.
Okay, that's fine.
Sasha, get to Sasha!
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I'm
you can go the whole way. He can point it on the fly, yep.
Okay, I run to Sasha.
Okay. You've used your single move action to get to Sasha.
She's lying there completely out of it.
However, just for flavour, this is Azu bombing it unarmoured across the street and basically diving to get there. Yeah. But yes, you have gotten to Sasha.
Okay.
Pray harder than you've ever prayed
pray
before.
So
I want to try.
Oh, you can do a heal. You can just do a heal check to stabilise. Actually, you don't need.
Yes,
magic
you can
do
a non-magic stabilise.
I'm going to do that.
Stop it bleeding out.
But what's dramatically better in your hour of need, calling on Aphrodite to save one of your friends?
No, I cannot.
That's
I cannot.
Fair.
I cannot
that's
risk.
Fair. That's fair.
Then accidentally properly killing her when it's like mostly my fault. We're here. Have you not factored in the guilt?
I've now got a chance to die in people's arms, which is fine. It was the dying and the but dying and never finding the body would have been kind of cool.
There's still time.
Yeah.
Maybe none of them make it out.
Fall down a hole. Be like, see ya.
Right. I'm all in heal to stabilize so that you don't immediately like just die in my arms tonight. That's a.
It was something you said, which was persuading them to go to Rome.
What did
that's
you get?
That's a 19.
A 19? 19, you say?
Crumpled body in your arms, weak thumbs up.
So, Sasha stabilises. What that means is Sasha isn't now bleeding out. So there is a thing in Pathfinder when dying comes up properly, which is if the character reaches their constitution score in negative points, they're just dead. There's also like a massive damage rule, but the amount of damage required is just enormous. What that means, though, is that when a character is knocked unconscious, they begin losing 1 point, I think it is, around.
Yep.
But they get rolls to stop it.
Oh, so it was fine. I had like 3 whole rounds.
So what you have done is you have stopped Sasha from bleeding out. Sasha is still unconscious and on -7. -7. out of a total of negative 12 that she could take before just being dead. She is not healed. She is not conscious. She is just not dying more currently.
That's the best I can hope for.
Good job!
Shut up, Alex!
No. Good job!
I mean, you know...
That was tactically optimal.
That's the highest of praise from Alex.
If the invisible person comes and, like, throws a... It doesn't even need to be a bomb. Like, a small pebble off the roof and hits her in the head.
Sasha is unfortunately very close to death. So, Hamid, you are up.
I close my eyes. I listen for it. I can't see it anyway. My eyes are only going to confuse me. Halflings have keen senses. Dragons canonically at high enough level and a dragonborn sorcerer at a high enough level gets blind sight.
At a high enough level?
Yeah, I don't have it.
Give me a perception check. This is to isolate the square that you think it's in.
I'm listening.
I'm foreshadowing his bloodline.
Yeah. Mm. It's cool. It's cool, man.
Fancy boy.
It's not going to work. It's just cool. 21.
Whoa.
Pretty good.
Yes! Yes! The frustration!
So, just to describe it, Alex is making a face like he's just pooped himself.
but gone purple while doing it. It was a really hard one to get
so
out.
So, that's another natural one on the opposed stealth check for the permanently invisible creature. God!
Well, it's used to being invisible, so it just clatters about the place.
I wasn't looking.
It's immediately above you. You hear the distinct movements of wind and so on, and you're like, yeah, I think it's like on top
dragon.
Of you, on top of you.
And close overhead.
Sorry, that was Alex giving a silent, approving nod.
Can you just do a flame?
I cast Fireball.
But it'll...
On myself.
No!
Hero Hammond!
Oh my gosh! You're going to leave me an Einstein in a jar!
I don't need you to do an attack roll for this.
Oh my god!
Because you've centered it on yourself.
You're too squishy!
Hamid, just to recap, closes his eyes, goes really still, just raises his hands gradually, his head snaps upwards without his eyes opening, and he bursts into flame, is how it appears.
I need to know one thing. What's the radius of Fireball?
20 foot.
Oh god, I can't take this.
That's a lot of dice.
That's so many dice.
Are you forgetting something before you roll?
What?
You're in Rome, baby.
Oh. Come on.
I gotta do it.
The thing is, if it goes wrong, I just explode anyway, right? So it has the same exact mechanical outcome.
No.
No, but it might be maximised.
Oh god.
Oh, Ben.
Roll it.
Oh, I can't look at anyone.
Oh, it's a natural one!
That's three natural ones in a row!
So, the spell fails. It fails immediately on you, so good news.
That's kind of what you were aiming for, yeah.
that's what I wanted to happen.
Success! Let's all go home, guys.
The bad news is it's maximised on you.
But it's maximised on the cloud of bumholes as well.
Yeah.
You do still get your reflex saves as normal.
Yeah.
What's the damage to your reflexing against?
Oh, God.
Spit it out, Bryn.
Because I fear it's a fatal amount.
Oh, Bryn.
Oh, yeah, it's like immediate failure. I'm not even looking your way.
What
I'm going to turn around
what
and you're going to be
63
dead.
Damage.
Oh! You can't halve that. You can't take that halved.
Even halved, you're still going down.
I have fire resistance 10.
Hey, there you go.
Would you like me to roll first, or would you like to roll first on the reflex?
All at the same time.
Yeah, all right.
With the gradually increasing pitch, you won't be able to cut between takes.
On three, Bryn. On three. One.
Guys, I'm honestly not sure I can look. This literally kills me instantly if I fail this reflex save.
Roll.
Okay. Wait. We need to know the DC from your spell.
That's quite high.
It doesn't affect the DC, the maximising, it's just the damage.
No, take me! It's much better if Sasha dies. Everyone wants to see him turn into a dragon.
I know.
But what if he just popped?
What if?
There was too much dragon inside him.
Oh no!
This is so bad.
See the ghost of an ashy dragon that never was.
Right.
The DC of the save. is 18.
Ooh, I'll count you guys in
one
so
second,
you can
one
concentrate
second.
On your rolling hands.
I'm genuinely shaking right now.
I cannot handle. I literally can't even.
I am going to faint.
Right. You ready, guys?
No, one second.
No.
My reflex bonus is 8. This is
a
50-50 chance.
18?
Okay. Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Yes!
Oh, oh my god!
I survived!
You both got 10!
You both rolled 10. But what we need to know is what was the modifier on Alex's lock, because they may have failed.
Please fail.
The creature makes its reflex.
No! Why?
But they both. Yeah.
You're the worst!
Sorry! I can.
I can't believe they both were up first!
So.
This is more emotion than I usually have.
Yes! It's got a touch of the vapors!
The important bit, I survived. Okay, so 63 damage halved.
Mm.
31 damage. I have fire resistance 10. I take 21.
Oh, mate, so he's on 10. He's healthy.
I'm fine.
For a very specific
reason. I'm only about 50% of my maximum hit points.
Yeah. I mean,
Azu's going to kill you.
So.
Like.
So, you don't know how close I just came to death.
So, there is an enormous. Let's do this from Azu's standpoint. Hamid, he takes his little step. He closes his eyes, goes quiet for a moment.
And pops.
Massive explosion, like blowing the fronts off buildings explosion, like really potent explosion.
Oh, that's going to bring everyone down like this.
There is then a cry from above Hamid. Mm. You have no idea what it is. You can't even see what was there, even if it was revealed, because of all the dust and stuff that's thrown up. At the end of it, Hamid is still stood there in a small crater surrounded by scorch marks and stuff, his little clothes in tatters.
Oh dear.
I'll take a break there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma, a new sci-fi comedy podcast. Join me, Trexel Geistman.
Oh, and also me, David Seven.
David, will you please be quiet? As you follow the adventures of Stella Firma Limited's most effortlessly charming and respected planet designer, working to make your requests a reality.
And me, his clone assistant, who actually writes things down.
David, one more word out of you and I'm putting your head in a vacuum tube. Mm. Season 1 premieres on February 15th and is available for free via iTunes, Spotify and all other good podcast players. For more information, visit rustyquill.com.
Trexel, can we please get back to the brief now?
Right, that's it. Into that tube.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Jumping to Grizzop.
Everything's fine, dog.
I was going to try and make a joke, but I've just remembered I've seen, apparently, Wild's murdered corpse.
Yes, oh, you have!
Oh, God!
Oh, we were so stressed about the fireball that we forgot the murder!
It's all going so well.
Oh, dear.
Well played.
Bronk hesitates and then immediately yells out into the corridor. Help, we need some help.
I'm the best person to deal with this anyway.
Run up to him, do a heal check. Is he alive? Is he dead?
Give me a heal check.
Is he just very sleepy and bumped his noggin? Who knows?
Natural one. All of the above.
It was 4. Oh, great. Oh, I can't hit him. Okay.
Oh, I'm not the best person to deal with this.
7.
7? He's alive.
Okay, good.
Good.
Lay on hands. I just do that. That's great. 2d6 plus cure fatigue.
Cure fatigue?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good.
If he just turns out he's
I
a bit
could
sleepy.
Do with that.
Six. And he is not fatigued if he was.
He mumbles something. It's unintelligible. His eyes kind of drunkenly shift, and then he just is unconscious again.
Oh, he just didn't look after himself. The absolute fool!
I'm going to do it again.
It's
another three.
Be in a place where spells just work.
Yes. Where the gods look. It's another three.
Another three? Still not conscious.
Fine!
Slap him. Non-lethally.
Nope.
Right. Okay, world's out. Apparently he overworked. I don't know. Lift his head up.
Because
there's blood coming out from somewhere.
Ears and nose.
Oh, his brain might have popped.
Bronk leans in. Like, I want you to imagine a camera shot, right, of Grizzop holding Wild's face, so they're face to face, and it's a full, like, profile shot. And then just inching in front of Grizzop's is Bronk going, "Can that actually happen?"
Arcane caster, no idea, probably. Might turn into tentacles or something. It's weird. Anyway, right, so he's not dead. Great. Might be brain dead. Not so great. So, let's go tell someone.
I was just...
No, I know. But that didn't work.
Help, please. Starts yelling into the corridors. There's a moment of, like, what? I mean, they're all admin people. Like, there's not much in the way of, like, experts.
Do you have a designated first aider?
Yeah, there has to be a first aider on every floor.
It's true. Gets better. There has to be a cleric on every floor. That's not true. There has to be a cleric in the building.
Oh, I'm here!
A cleric.
And then the other cleric disappeared. He's just like, oh, shifts over 1,000.
So, a cleric turns up. Give me a knowledge religion. You're going to know which religion they are, but this is, you know, for more than just that.
Hades! Oh, no!
knowledge religion. That was a 9 until I knocked it over. That's 14.
14? Okay, cleric of Dionysus, and looking by the regalia, fairly high up, but it makes sense. It's the meritocratic officers.
Male or female?
Male. Big purple robes flowing. It's quite an element of sort of like earthly ostentation. So like gold bangles, gold rings, that kind of thing.
All right, party boy. He's done too much. He's bleeding out the eyes and nose. I've cured light wounds on him and he seems not well. He's not fatigued anymore.
Comes over, sort of shakes him a bit.
Well, I tried that.
Done too much what?
Too much work. Look around here. He was exhausted last time we saw him, so I don't know what's wrong with him. He's not dying, and he's not dead. I don't know if his brain popped.
Right. Give me a second. Starts doing a heal check. A lot better than you. Yeah, he's just really tired.
Okay, why is he bleeding out the nose and the ears then?
Just seems really tired to me.
Cool, well, next time I sleep and bleed from the ears and nose, I'll be with you.
All right, fine. Step back.
Are you unstoppable?
Artemis, light a fire and campfires as well. Fire and moon.
Oh, go to an opening night.
That's how they worship. They just have to be at the things before anyone else's.
Gonna play a Paladin of Dionysus soon.
He places his hands over and he closes his eyes, and there's a little bit of a glow going on. You can tell this is basically, you know, cleric diagnosis 101, some basic stuff. Well, that's strange. He's not just tired.
Oh, really?
Looks in the ears. Brain might have popped. I'm gonna cut back to Rome. Tonal whiplash. Don't mind me. Got a bunch of rolls for a creature that you can't see.
Isn't it like flapping around on the ground so we can see?
Is it on fire a bit?
Yeah. In the sky, maybe.
Currently, all you can mostly see is the dust cloud generated by the fireball.
That's fair.
Well, then surely we'd be able to see the invisible things.
That's how you spot invisible things. You throw a cloud of dust in the air.
You've got to wait for the dust to settle. You've got to let the dust settle first. I tell you what, if I could see more than my hand in front of my face, I could see this thing.
Helen is not convinced or impressed.
What we need is some flour.
Also, flour's flammable, so that can only end well.
Azu, you know, I was going to ask what your AC is. Doesn't matter. So we'll have a look at that.
That's a 2, Alex.
How am I doing this? This is the lowest.
It's so bad you're not going to kill everyone.
Okay, frankly, by the way, is that flat-footed AC because Azu doesn't know where it is?
It is, but unless... Azu, what's your AC without your armour?
I've got no clue.
I strongly suspect this thing isn't good.
I think it might be
to...
9.
What's your dex?
Ooh.
Yeah, her AC's only 9 right now.
Ooh, in which case then, I've got good news for you. By which I mean I've got terrible news for you.
I don't like it. I don't like this.
He's making bad faces.
I'm not looking at his face.
That's fine. I'm telling you what his face is doing.
Don't tell me what his face is doing.
He's grimacing.
No.
He's now looking at the laptop.
How many D6 did I just roll?
Three.
That was three. That was three.
Oh, that's a super grimace with more calculation. Laptop again.
Stop it. Azu, something slams into the base of your spine and follows it up with a huge blow to the back of the head.
Oh, is this
thing
sneaky?
Nasty?
Yeah!
Is that a cloud of hammers?
31 damage. That's across both the hits, not one.
This is brutal.
Right.
I think it just rolled a 2 and did 30 damage in a single attack.
Because it hit.
So, that happens. It hurts a lot. It doesn't even feel like claws or something, just a huge, brutal amount of force has ploughed into you.
Oh, what is it?
A bunch of, like, weird jingly bells and klaxons and stuff starts going off at the entrance to the taverna. Einstein steps out.
What?
And starts jumping from now going, over here!
No!
Over here! Come and get me! Oh, look at me! I've got good knees! He does a little jig and moves into the middle of the street.
What a hero.
Away from Azu.
No!
Further away. Do me a favour. Can you move me 20 feet away from the entrance of the taverna? And he's just there going, oh, look at me!
One-man band type thing.
What an absolute lad.
Dick Van Dyke.
Azu, you're up.
So this thing hit me from behind, right?
Yep. You know what square it's in. Immediately behind you.
I'm hitting it with my great axe. If Sasha's not in the way.
Sasha's not in the way.
Ben's face activates.
I cast my evil on it.
I can't, because magic doesn't work.
Think really hard about it.
just hit it with your axe.
Yeah. I've got to hit it with my axe. That's otherwise, fair. If I cast my evil, it might make it eviler. Or something.
Yeah.
In that case, then, I have to roll your missed chance first, because it's still invisible. Hit.
Well, she's got to beat the AC.
But sorry, you can hit.
It's not going to be. It's going to be terrible, and I'm just going to. It's just going to be horrible. Someone tell me what that says.
However, no, don't high five me. Because Pathfinder is horrible.
Roll to confirm it.
But you could get.
There's the fact that it definitely hits.
It's definitely hit.
How much do I get?
You have to hit it. A 6.
Helen panicked.
Plus your attack bonus.
Which is.
There.
16.
16? Does 16 hit?
Ooh, no.
Okay, that's 2d12 plus 6 for this first attack.
We've been knowing us we'll get two ones.
Yeah, basically.
Rubbish.
So that's 12.
12?
You get another attack.
Roll the second attack.
I have to roll the concealment of time as well. So, you bury your axe into something, and then there's a gout of that sort of petroleum oil colour that spurts out across the blade and onto the ground where it gives a little bit of a... and your blade is seemingly wedged. You finally manage to draw it out to get another hit and just overestimate the drawback, and you end up sort of smacking into the stone behind you. You've not fumbled the blade or anything, but then that scar in the air sort of disappears again. But you hear a cry, a very big sounding cry, very, very close in front of you.
Can't hear the balls.
One can only
hope. Absolutely.
I am going to jump back to Hamid.
I adopt a defensive posture.
Wise.
Which means I can't move this turn, and I'm going to ready my attack action.
You have seen the attack, like enough dust to settle because it's a new round, that you have seen an attack on Azu from behind, so you already know the square that the creature's occupying.
Oh, then I don't do that. I cast Scorching Ray.
I think that's a good idea.
What order do you want to do this in? This is 2 ranged touch attacks, so they go against a lower AC.
Let's find out whether the spell works first. Spell succeeds with no negative effects. Gets better.
That's nice.
You rolled at the other end of things. The spell is maximised, but goes off without a problem.
Okay, yay. So now it just has to hit.
Don't do what you did to Sasha in what...
Now, if it's a ray, does it still get its concealment if it's invisible?
It's an area
yeah,
attack.
Yeah, it's still... No, it's not an area. It's an attack.
Yeah, that's a... You definitely hit.
Okay. Oh, this could do it.
Well, there's two.
Oh, yeah, fair point. Fair point. Okay, you miss on the second one. You get the first one.
But it's maximized, right?
It's maximized.
This is the attack roll. So that is 14 against range touch AC.
Ooh, that might do it.
Ooh, I'm going to have to remember range touch. It's been a while.
It's basically you get your dex bonus and nothing else to your AC.
I'm trying to feel afraid.
So that hits.
You hit.
Okay, so that does...
It's all going over my head.
This is quite involved that now. We've got a lot of layers.
That does 28 damage.
That's good. That is a...
It was maximised.
That's a big number.
Yes.
With both of it, I would have done 56 damage.
Totally 4-4.
So, I'm going to reverse this for the sake of drama. The first one... explodes into the wall beside a thing. There's a mottled dusting of stuff that goes across this invisibility, and you briefly see this thing's huge. It's really big. Like, really big, and has a very weird shape. The second one, square in the back, there is a huge cry, and then this rippling effect of fire that moves outwards in an expanding circle from the back of this creature. And with it goes the invisibility, revealing this bizarre looking shimmered thing. Turns out you weren't hitting blood, you were hitting the thing. It seems to be this like wobbling ball of like oil in the air, and
so it is a giant cloud of either bumhole or punches.
And as that fire expands, because it's a beam, it's not a punch, the oil stuff starts to boil and pop. The back of it suddenly bursts open. And as the fire continues to swell around this, turns out it's not spherical, it's just an amorphous, weird shape. Its innards gush backwards out, it flops down to the ground, and as it does, you see the remaining of the invisibility disappear, and all that's left is a sort of oily, shimmering skin as the innards splay out across the street.
Is it dead?
Be a heel check? It's very dead.
Heel check the puddle.
It's very dead.
Azu, is Sasha okay?
Unconscious, definitely not okay.
Let's get back into the basement.
Okay.
Einstein still.
Einstein, you can stop me!
Yeah, stop it! Shush!
Great. He scarpers back into the taverna and back into his pot.
Yeah.
We are now out of initiative.
I'm going to carry Sasha back inside.
This is me acting Sasha.
I think we shelter and lick our wounds and abandon the idea of a watch because clearly it didn't work.
I'm going to jump to Grizzop. So Grizzop, Dionysus guy's going, so there's quite a lot going on here. Someone's definitely been doing some kind of like stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't need to pitch a tent or whatever to tell you that.
This guy just gives you a look.
I realise pitching a tent means something very different to you.
So, I mean, what's this guy been doing? He's been eating weird things?
No, he's an illusionist, and he was doing a lot of magic and not getting enough sleep.
Looks around. I mean, the sleep bit makes sense, but no, there's more going on there. I can't tell you what. Magic, though. Definitely magic.
Is there a meritocratic magician in this building who can maybe tell us?
Oh, you don't want a magician, you want a cleric, mate.
Aren't you one of those?
Gives you a look. Starts trying to heal Wild.
I could have done this.
Take him to one of the temples for a better diagnosis.
Yeah, just take him back to Artemis Temple.
The cleric plants his hand over him and mutters some stuff. You see, he's trying a bunch of things. He's clearly burning through all of his spells because why not? This is his job, to just use them all in one go. Eventually, Wild sort of comes around looking conscious, but still grey and pallid.
It's not fatigued, though.
Extremely not fatigued. Spry as the day he... I was going to say born. You're not very spry when you're born.
What was that thing that happened to Bertie? His con was drained?
Yeah.
Comes to and he's just grey.
What have you been up to?
I have no idea.
Right.
Starts rubbing his face, rubbing his eyes.
Didn't take our advice, did you?
What advice?
Sleep. You were face down on your desk, bleeding from the ears and nose.
Tries to stand up. And then sits down again.
That is a puddle of you.
Ew.
Okay, I'm...
You need to go to a temple and get yourself sorted out.
Try that, didn't work.
Go to a better temple and do that.
Try that, didn't work.
Okay, Wild. Well,
does he have some sort of horrible disease? Do we need the heart of Aphrodite again?
Yeah. Oh no, he's got like some kind of wasting thingy.
Look, I'm not fit. What's up? What do you need?
Okay, well, look, not relevant now given your current state, but the river has been potentially redirected with the help of Bronk and his lot, pointing at the orc.
Hello.
Hello.
Looks like their settlement was flooded as well, probably a side effect of the river redirection. However, there's a massive illusion making it look like the river's just dried up. When it hasn't, it's been redirected into a big hole.
Right.
I don't know how much you've been told. Anyway, that's all sorted. The factory full of the things that we care about, that's gone. It's incredibly destroyed. Oh, also, Brog, and you, pointing at the Dionysus cleric.
Hello.
Would you mind giving us a moment?
Dionysus guy sort of turns to Bronk, gives a saucy wink. Bronk just goes, no! Picks him up and just walks out and closes the door.
Thanks, Bronk. Look, the cult, they've kidnapped, they've taken a hostage for each of us. The other three have gone to Rome to get
Rome?
Them. No, they made their decision. They
Rome?
Yes, Einstein took them. Yes, Einstein again.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I don't know. It's been about a day. Obviously, I haven't heard anything from them, but it's going to be bigger. I stay behind to sort out the factory. And so the factory is destroyed. It's gone. I filled it with the river. And the river has been redirected. But now that's done, I need to go and help. And I don't know how to do that. What's next? And what's happening to you? This isn't... Is someone poisoning you?
If they were, that'd make things a lot easier. I don't know what's happening. I haven't slept in a long time.
Right.
That's not by choice.
Get someone to cast sleep on you?
I'm really reticent to get anyone to cast things on me these days. Because things are more complicated than when we started out, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, they are.
He's, by the way, he's really struggling.
Let's go.
He's held together at this point by spitting magic.
Let's go to the Temple of Artemis. If we can trust anyone, we can trust them. They'll be able to cast sleep on you and maybe, I don't know. If I hadn't found you, you might have just bled out on your desk. And no one wants to die at work.
He stands up unsteadily. Lead the way.
Right. Oh, and we need help rebuilding. I need to take Bronk to... Who's in charge? Is it the mayor? Do they have a mayor here?
Yeah.
Fine. You sit down for just 5 minutes.
He sits down.
Okay, I'll come and get you and we'll go to the temple. Right.
Let's jump out of RP and describe what you're doing and then I can just accelerate.
I'm going to take Bronk
to
the mayor's office and fight my way through until I can talk to the mayor.
She's in there. Initially, people start resisting. Brock's really good at carving a path through people. really good at carving a path through people.
I do not get my bow out.
He didn't need an appointment. How strange.
Interesting. And basically be like, right, we've got the river back. This guy did it. His settlement needs help. Do it, because basically Damascus isn't going to die because of this lot. On my honour as a paladin of Artemis, if you don't do this, I will hunt you down and shoot your knees off.
Standard.
Different tactic to what I was using.
I'm going
to
accelerate past again. I'm not going to RP because I'm just RPing my own conversations again. It's very clear that Bronk's a known representative.
Oh, okay.
And it's very clear that the mayor's like, cool, so you fixed the river. Yeah, okay, cool. I can deal with a landslide. Let's deal with that instead. They start talking.
I will leave them to it and go get Wild and go to the Temple of Artemis.
Brilliant. I'm going to jump back to Rome.
Fair.
Okay. There's me RPing.
Does anyone have any means for bringing Sasha back round?
You have bags of holding, don't you? And do you have potions for...
There was one last potion. I gave it to Sasha last night.
Did you drink it?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to go through her things.
We should just let her sleep and do it after she's rested a bit.
For everyone... Well, I say for everyone. Helen.
Yeah.
Because we now have an NPC, an unconscious person, and someone within your elements. It's cold down here. You just know that it interferes with healing if you're leaving someone in the cold, on the ground. Probably won't heal very well.
Okay. She has a cloak of Elvenkind, doesn't she? So...
You reckon you can stop her dying, but you don't reckon that you can get her on the path to health, freezing in a basement. That's not conducive to care.
Am I going to have to cuddle Sasha?
You tell me.
I think I'm going to have to cuddle Sasha.
Okay.
She doesn't resist.
Things really are bad.
Yes, it's the most fulsome hug Sash has had in years. Einstein kind of gently cutches in as well. Aww. Want some of that?
Yeah.
I'll go outside on the other end to Azu, because Azu produces more heat and I'm okay because of my spell for a little while longer.
You warmed yourself up with the fire?
I was thinking endure elements, but also yeah.
And here's another one to end on then.
Yep.
As the camera pans upwards, obviously we're doing the artistic thing where there's no roof for this camera shot. Mm. Everyone couched in a dark, cold basement. We zoom out further.
One cloak under us, one cloak over us.
Into the barren wastelands of Rome, where there's maybe another howl for artistic effect. Keep zooming out as far as the eye can see. Maybe a leathery wing flaps in front of the camera briefly. I reckon that's a lovely image to end on. Should we end the episode there?
Just so long as you don't fill it with "and all the dogs
are coming
towards them, padding on silent paws."
I am not doing
that. Okay, good.
The dogs were invisible.
Hey, guys, right. No one died.
Hey!
Good job.
What scar am I going to have?
Good job.
Oh, yeah.
Or will we discuss that? You can all be back here next week and we'll find out, shall we?
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
I've forgotten how to intro an episode now. I'm too obsessed with the numbers.
Hello! Welcome to the Rusty
Show! Thanks.
I'm Alex Newell.
There we go.
And with me today,
Alex is mathsing. He's like a beautiful mind, except occasionally Ben's voice just swims across in big bold saying, "Pathfinder!"
Boom.
Smearing all the numbers everywhere.
I close my eyes.
Pull back the curtain.
Damn you, Weber.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.